And I say, what ho, this is Brian, call me the Fool in the Rain Gardener, coming to you from Ramble on Towers Dungeon Studio in scenic Hesper, Ontario. You are listening to Ramble on Radio, episode 69, the episode that's so good, it's just as good forward as backwards, it's just as good upside down as standing straight up. This is the magic episode. This will be your favorite. Your new favorite. Not Christmas isn't your favorite, this is your new favorite. Ramble on Radio is the only dedicated Led Zeppelin podcast on this or any other known internets. Be sure to go to rambleonradio.com for all your Led Zeppelin news. Any links I mentioned during the show, you can subscribe to Ramble on Radio through iTunes. If you go to iTunes, leave a review. It helps with the iTunes guys noticing that we're there, and then we get placement and stuff. Listen to it on Spreaker. Be sure to follow Ramble on Radio on Spreaker. Check it out at Ramble on Radio on YouTube. And you can follow Ramble on Radio on Facebook, Google+, and at Ramble on Blog on Twitter. And happy birthday, Robert Plant, 66 years old. YouTube people, I just took off the headphones, they'll know. By the way, last week didn't get on YouTube yet. I'll do it this weekend. Both of them will get up, put up at the same time. I just forgot about it. Summer again. Summer hours. but happy birthday, Robert Plant. He's 66. I got to tell you a story. Remember last week I mentioned he's coming to Toronto. I probably go see him in Toronto. So I go to get tickets on Thursday, 10 in the morning. I get the pre-code pass and stuff. And, 200 and change. $200+ for the best seats in the house. $180 for the medium seats. $84 for the cheapest seats at Massey Hall to see Robert Plant in 2014. Now, a lot of you guys may say, oh, good deal, I'd do it. No, not so much for me. Now, I may be cheap. I'm a little cheap, but I hate to spend money like that. And like $80 for good seats, I'd have paid. I'd said, okay, I'll go for that. I'll grab one of those. But I was thinking $45 for the cheap seats, $80, $90 for the good seats, and I kind of have a decision to make. $80 for the cheap seats, the back of zero chance. Not to mention, it's on I'm on afternoon shift. I would have to take a night off work, so add a couple hundred bucks to your price. So I will not be reviewing Robert Plant live from a seat in Massey Hall. Although I still plan on watching him in iTunes Festival and. I'll get some chances to see what he's doing, let's put it that way, but it won't be absolutely live sitting there unless somebody in Robert Plant's entourage hears this and thinks, boy, we need this guy to review us. Yeah, that's going to happen. Requested a Jimmy Page interview this week, by the way, when he's in New York. Found an email address for somebody who's running the show there, and yeah, I haven't heard back. But I requested it, and I also found an email address for the guy who's in charge of press for the remasters. So I requested interviews with anybody who would, or any material they may have, and I haven't heard a thing back. That's where that stands. So if you're looking for advanced listen to something off Houses of the Holy, you're probably going to have to download it off the internet just like me. But anyway, happy birthday, Robert Plant. 66, he's doing well. Look, he's doing well for 66. He's still out there touring. He's still out there. And I've said this before, I'm not nuts on the stuff he's doing. And I'm not nuts on some of the things he says and does these days. But he's at that point in time where he can do whatever he wants. And he's earned it. And he can do it. And so knock yourself out, Robert Plant. I'm happy enough that you're out there doing something. Even if I'm not prepared to pony up 40 or $80 for the cheap seats to see you do it. Speaking of, I mentioned last week, Dave Thompson, a new book coming out called The Voice That Flew the Zeppelin. Now, you know, when I talk about the Zeppelin guys, I can't get a review material, I can't even get them to put my mail. It's not necessarily true outside of the Zeppelin world. This happens, I contacted the publisher of the book. I said, I would be interested in reviewing that if that's possible. I got an email back. Within the hour, saying, once we have the books in hand, you will get one. But in the meantime, go to this website, and you can download our material there. So I'm thinking I'm getting press material, maybe a few pictures or something. So I go to this website, I register, I sign up, and it's a website for reviewers, bloggers, who do book reviews. to get books sent directly to their Kobo, iPad, whatever. I have a Kobo app on my iPad. I had, by the end of the night, a copy of Robert Plant, The Voice That Blew the Zeppelin, by Dave Thompson. I would have to look at it. People on YouTube can see I'm fooling around with my iPad right now. Let me see if I can bring it up really fast. Kindle. It's on my Kindle. Yes. They sent it to me direct to my Kindle app on my iPad. It was just like that. I had to put in like an email just for the thing. This is an advanced uncorrected reader's proof. Advanced uncorrected reader's proof. And it does say these proofs are not to be quoted for publication. Publication date is tentative. Please consult the finished books or the Backbeat Books Publicity Department with further inquiries. So I cannot tell you anything about the book. Other than say I have read it, and it is the best Led Zeppelin book out there. Period. It is fabulous. If you sit at home scratching your head going, why won't Robert Plant join Led Zeppelin? This book walks you through it. Takes your hand and walks you through it. And it's a lot of stuff we've talked about over time. He really avoids the salacious stories. As a matter of fact, he spends a lot of time debunking a lot of those little salacious stories, and well, that may or may not have been them, and that may, and he'll kind of say, you'll notice when these stories come up, and that no names are specifically mentioned, that sort of thing. But he stays really away from that. He mentions it where he has to, but doesn't dig into it, doesn't touch the real salaciousness of it. Treats it as a side story. The story is Robert Plant, the man, the crap he's been through in life, how he got where he was, and how he got from there to where he is now. And it talks a lot about his relationship with Jimmy Page, etc., but it's phenomenal. The best Led Zeppelin book I've read. And it's not a Led Zeppelin book, it's a Robert Plant book, by the way, but it's, you know what I mean. You get into those, the types of thing. Now, I like Dave Thompson as a writer. Anyway, I mentioned this before. I mentioned this last week. You two guys will confirm how easy that was. This book right here. I Hate New Music by Dave Thompson. A Classic Rock Manifesto is the best music book I own. I read it every 6 months just to get re-cynicalized. And like I said, the guys on YouTube, because I turned around and grabbed that off the shelf. I knew exactly where it was. It's a great book. And the Robert Plant one is great. So I'll be talking more about it when I can. I'll do a full review for sure. There was talk in my emails with the fella from the Backbeat Books, I think it was, that I might get Dave Thompson on. Assuming you guys don't mind me sitting talking to him for 2 hours about the Classic Rock Manifesto there, that should work. But I may never get past that book. I love that book so much. If I get a chance to get him on, I'll definitely have him on. I'll definitely talk to him as long as I can. Might even bump that Jimmy Page interview I'm getting for him. That's how much I like Dave Thompson as a writer. because that's going to happen. By the way, with Jimmy's on, he's in New York, right? We talked about that. He's in on the 3rd of October. I think November the 5th, he's doing a book signing. They're actually publicly saying 3rd, 4th, 3rd to 5th, he's doing public appearances. So there may be some other stuff in there. He's also doing some LA public appearances. Don't know what they are. Don't have the exact dates. Don't know what they are. But that mentioned in the press release. I wonder if my email's up. No, I close it off because it beeps at me if I don't. All right. 35 years ago. This very week. 35 years ago this very week. Hin Trudy Outdoor. There it is for you guys on YouTube. That's the brown paper package. You will notice it's a British one. The paper, see there's a little creasing on the paper, but very little. The American paper in the front's pristine, right? The American ones, they shrink wrapped it. And in Britain, they didn't shrink wrap it. In the same way, like they didn't tightly shrink wrap it. The American ones tended to be much more creased, the bag. It didn't work well between the shrink wrap and the... And there's the cover I got. There's the version of the cover I got. It's because the fella's not wearing his glasses, so he could not possibly tell you what to cover. No, I can't read that. Save my life. But I don't know which cover it is offhand. I can read some of it, but it seems to be a little mucky where it says so. But there you go. There's In Through the Outdoor, Front and Back. And yes, I sat in my room one day and colored the inner paper thingy. Because that's what 16-year-olds do when they're listening, right? We don't think, oh, this will be worth money one day. We think, really? Can I do that? I'm doing that. So I did it. Listen to the shit. I was 16 when this came out. I turned 16 about a month before it came out. I listened to the shit out of that album. I gotta tell you, it is a much disparaged album, in my opinion. Dave Thompson, in his book, dismisses it almost out of hand. He also dismisses Presence out of hand. And while I love the book, by the way, I have some issues with where he places the music. In terms of, he thinks Presence and Into the Outdoor are pretty much a waste of time, not very good. He thinks what Robert Plant has done since Dreamland is a better series of albums than anything he's ever done. I just can't agree with any of that. I love Presence, I love Into the Outdoor, but I was 16 years old when it came out. It was the first Led Zeppelin album I went to the store and bought and took home and listened. I was in England, so I didn't get to take it home for another week. But I took it home and listened to the shit out of that. And I'm telling you, I was in grade 12 in high school. We listened to that. That was a popular album. In the book, Dave Thompson says that lots of people bought, because there's six covers, lots of people bought six covers. That's one of the reasons it sold so well. I'm telling you, almost everybody I know bought this album. If you were in high school in 1979, you bought this album. It just happened. That's, it's to me, it's a great album that misses on a couple of points. And funnily enough, I the parts that I think miss are the parts that people tend to like. People tend to see something where I don't in Carousel Amber, for instance. I think Carousel Amber is just a jumbled mess. And to his credit, Dave Thompson kind of says, you know, he doesn't seem to have much for it. I have the Dave Lewis, Then As It Was. I mentioned it last week, but I couldn't remember the title. Then As It Was, Led Zeppelin at Nebworth, 1979, 30 years gone. This was 5 years ago, by the way. It's 35 years gone now. He talks about it. Carousel Amber is the one he thinks is really works. But it's incomplete. It needs better production. It needs this or that. I just think it's maybe better production would cut it. I just think it's messy. I mentioned the cover. I should point out, we talked last week, I think it was, about a book by Hypnosis, the designers, the cover designers, the peoples. Storm Thorgerson of Hypnosis designed this cover, so it may be one that's featured in that book, maybe the all six. And it does apparently tell a story. The fella is burning a Dear John letter. It always looked like a business card to me, he's like burning, but apparently it's a Dear John letter is the point. And there is a story, actually. I've been told before, I'm not sure I buy it. There's an actual story, but you have to look at all six of them to get it. but anyway, I would say, to me, the two of the great performances by members of Led Zeppelin occur on this album. John Bonham and Fool in the Rain, which I'm going to get back to in a minute, and Jimmy Page and All My Love. Now, we heard in the intro coming in, you heard a bit of Fool in the Rain, the drum part. You heard the outro for All My Love, that, company back. I do terrible when people walk in the room, you know? Even if it's another room and the door's closed. The outro for All My Love, but past the fade. So this is from one of the bootlegs. This is the complete outro. As a matter of fact, Plant sings it out. He finishes with a... you heard the intro. And if you're on YouTube, listen. I told you already. Listen to the intro. Here's what Dave Lewis says about that. Listening to the extended version, it becomes apparent that though Page's input may have been minimal during the main structure of the song, towards the close, he seems to come alive, almost in an act of defiance and self-motivation to prove he could still connect and harmonize with Plant and Jonesy's intentions. In that context, what we hear during the final 2 minutes is a series of string-bending guitar harmonics similar in style to the live arrangement of 10 Years Gone, and in keeping with the texture probably performed on the Botswana Brown Telecaster. High on emotion, it seems to be saying, this is still my band, and whatever problems we've been through, you need me and I need it. And this is amply demonstrated on the outtake version, where from 6 minutes 33 seconds, this monitor mix rundown goes beyond the timing of the officially released version. For the first time, we hear Jimmy's achingly beautiful guitar harmony behind Plant's pleadings. It remains one of the most sublime and moving parts of their entire output. This take remains unreleased. Listening to it all these years later, it says more about the fragility of the band and Page's standing within it than any other recording of the latter era. I don't know about the last bit. I think that's reading too much in. But yes, I tend to agree, but I would disagree. That starts at the 6 minute mark. I think Page is sublime all the way through this song. I think for a guitar hero, who's, you know, the guy who does Heartbreaker and he does that phenomenal solo in Fool in the Rain, for instance, the guy who you know, I'm Gonna Crawl on Achilles' Last Stand, the dipsy doodling he does through All of My Love is a true pro. Placing his mark the way it needs to be placed on a song. He took that song, which was a nice little song, a pretty little ballad, and he turns it into something far above its station with his guitar playing, with his subtle, distinct, unique, interesting guitar playing. And it says more about what a phenomenal guitar player Page is than anything that we think of when we think of Page. Because it's so out of character for him, and it shows you that throw something up in front of him, he can make something happen with it. Give him a challenge, even in the state now. It's well known, he was well documented, that he was fairly lost to the world in heroin addiction at that time. And I read something in an interview recently where he says, well, that's overstated. Obviously, we managed to get it done. And there are times when he is brilliant on this album. All of My Love throughout is one of them. Yes, that last couple of minutes that you heard in the intro is good. I saw Get the Let Out play this, and they play it note for note. They do the note for note stuff. Can you hold on one sec? Sorry, the YouTube guys know I was off. I ran off to find something. Come here. Anyway, so I'm watching Get the Let Out. They did this song, and they did it note for note. And Paul Hammond has the Telecaster with the B bender, which is what Page uses on this and on Hot Dog and on 10 Years Gone. And I was fascinated watching him do it. It's such a precise little thing he's doing. What Page does in this song is just such cool little bit of guitar work and should not be dismissed lightly, I think. And then there's Fool in the Rain. Fool in the Rain is, now I've said already, if you don't know the words, look up the words of Fool in the Rain. Then listen to the guitar solo. He actually tells the story in the guitar solo. It sounds like a guy standing on the corner, la-da-da. It's a street scene, right? You hear the street scene. The whistle blowing, think of a cop directing traffic, cars going back and forth. If you had a little cartoon with showing cars going around in the city, you might have that samba music. And then there's, you know, in comes the solo, and he's la da 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 da, why aren't you coming, la da da. And then it picks up, and he's realized he's on the wrong street corner, and it's raining, and he's running, and he's stumbling, and there's parts where it actually sounds like a guy who's like jumping through puddles and stuff. And he really nails the story in the solo. It's an astounding solo, and it's such a good solo. And if you've never done it, read the words, then listen to the solo with the headphones, start at the instrumental break, the street scene, think of it that way, and you'll be blown away. I suspect if I ever get a chance to interview Jimmy Page, that'll be one of the questions. Was he intending that? But Fool in the Rain is really John Bonham's song. It's listed as a Jones-Page-Plant song, and yet The first time I heard this song, it was the first song of this album. I was in Ireland. I was at my aunt and uncle's house. My cousin and I were in the kitchen, and BBC was on. And the song started. Nobody said new Led Zeppelin, anything. Just this song comes on. 3 or 4 bars into it, I'm saying to my cousin, "That's new Led Zeppelin." And he goes, "How do you know?" And I says, "That's Led Zeppelin. That sounds exactly like Led Zeppelin. And I've never heard that song before." And we knew the new album's coming out. And so, I mean, as soon as Plant starts singing, you know, okay, that's Led Zeppelin. But it is the only song I have ever heard, and I knew exactly who it was by the drums before I knew who it was. I certainly had never done it before. I don't think I've done it since. And the kind of restrained chaos that John Bonham brings to that song is astounding. Just astounding. Every time I listen to it, I'm amazed at the drumming in that. If you wonder, is John Bonham really made a big difference in the, you know, if you wonder how much a difference does a drummer make, listen to Fool in the Rain and try to imagine it with any other drummer in the world, and it no longer makes sense. It's an astounding performance. It is probably John Bonham's great performance of all time. It just is. Phenomenal. And beside that, so the tech list goes: In the Evening, Southbound Soiree, Fool in the Rain, Hot Dog, Carousel Lambra, All My Love, and I'm Gonna Crawl. I'll talk a little about each song, but In the Evening, to me, always, till I saw them do it live, it didn't make a lot of sense to me. It's one of those ones. I think the same applies a bit to, that's happened at other songs. Achilles' Last Stand really made a lot more sense when I saw it live, when I heard it live. I'm trying to think. Even No Quarter to a degree makes a lot more sense live. Song Remains the Same is one that always struck me as live. You go, oh, okay. But In the Evening, yeah, and it's one that, now this is one I would agree, this is almost a great song, but it's in the production, it's in the performance, something gets lost that it's not. It's not that great song that it could be. But it could be a Zeppelin classic for sure. Doesn't manage it somehow. Southbound Soiree, I love. It's one of those songs, it's a hoppity, danceable song. You got to remember when it was 1980s. It was 79, coming out of the 70s, and it was the music was more upbeat. The music was happier, and it covers that, and it's a great, and it is a, you put the LP on. Now, you listen to the MP3s, it doesn't work as much, and I mentioned this before over the years, but you put the LP on and listen to it, and all of a sudden you're dancing to this song. And I will tell you, I have 3 Led Zeppelin songs on my set list when I go for a run. Southbound Soiree is one. Fool in the Rain is another one, by the way. Interestingly, and then Hot Song for Nowhere, or Candy Store Rock. I have to check that. It's one of those two. Which, by the way, has an acoustic guitar in it. They've always said no acoustic guitars appear in Presence, but running the other day, listening to the MP3, for iTunes MP3, clearly there was an acoustic guitar in my ear. Just saying. So Fool in the Rain we've covered. Great lyrics. This is a great Robert Plant vocal performance, I think. And it's great lyrics, Fool in the Rain. Fun lyrics. It's a bit romantic. I mean, he's waiting for, he's obviously had a fight with his lady. He's waiting for her. And she's late, and he's wondering, oh, is this over? Is she dumped me? What's going on? And he's standing in the rain waiting for her, watching the clock. And you almost picture somebody in London, downtown London, watching Big Ben, you know? And then, of course, he's on the wrong corner. Third verse, he's on the wrong corner. It's him who's not where he's supposed to be, not her. Hot Dog is another one I've always liked. And I've said this before, too. You know, my wife has very little patience for the Led Zeppelin stuff. I told her one day, I put on one of the Presence poppy ones. I think Hot Song for Nowhere. And she kind of went, nah. I says, you know, I think you have a mental block. She goes, yeah, I might. Because it's the sort of thing she might otherwise like. But Hot Dog is the one that she had, the only Led Zeppelin song she keeps on her her playlist is Hot Dog. So people disparage it as a throwaway, as this or that. But it's a song that works for some people. And it's a good little song. It's another fun song. And it's a hot little guitar part. Let's face it. Now, Carousel Amber is the one the fans like. Carousel Amber is the one that people say, now maybe live this would have really, and they apparently were working up a live version of it. And maybe live it makes sense in a way. Maybe live it comes together. Like the song remains the same. I said that a minute ago, but to me it works so much better live. Maybe because Carousel Amber does. Maybe all of a sudden you'll go, oh, that's what they're trying to get at. But to me, it's just a mess. And I don't hear where other people say this is one that's, this could be the New Days of Confused. This could be one of the great classic Zeppelin songs. It was just a little more polished. I don't hear it. I just don't. Lyrically, by the way, this is Robert Plant taking a few pokes at his bandmates who were not there during his toughest time. And he has said in interviews, there's somebody who's going to be so shocked when they realize that song's about them. And I'm guessing that's Jimmy Page is what he means. But it is kind of a bit of a slap at the others. Not called Bonham. How's that? Peter Grant, Jimmy Page, John Paul Jones. He had real issues with them after his son died in 1977. And they did not attend the funeral. They did not call him. They did not come around. It's one thing to say, I got stuck in America, I couldn't make it back. You know what I mean? If one of them had said, if John Paul Jones had called him the next day, said, I'm so sorry, I didn't make the funeral. But nobody called him. None of these three guys called the guy and said, how are you doing? None of them stopped in the interim period. They all just kind of, whatever, leave him alone. He's going through his thing. That's a bit of what Carousel Amber is. All My Love, interesting, Dave Thompson says in the book, All My Love is the only song that was brought to the sessions as a fairly complete piece by Plant. It was written by Plant, the chords were in place, and stuff. Him and Jones really just put it together. And as such, Thompson thinks it's the standout of this album. It's the only song that really works on this album. Again, I disagree strongly with that, as I've been saying. But All My Love is I mentioned already, a great Page performance, but it's also a phenomenal Plant performance. He sings this as well as he sings any song. He really hits into this one, and for obvious reasons. And this works. It's just a lovely song. It's what a pity that it's about what it's about, though. Yeah. It almost seems like a nice little romantic song. And I've had, you know, in the high school, they played it at the end of dances and stuff, and you know, I was in grade 12, they would play at it, and people would be up dancing, snuggling to it, and I was always, no, not this song, I can't dance to this one. And then I'm going to crawl. Now, people talk about Carousel Amber as being maybe not fully formed, maybe something that would work in a different setting, maybe something that would, with somewhat better performances, or a little more time to put into it, better production, or something like that, would work. I would say I'm going to crawl is the one that that does that to me. To me, I'm Gonna Crawl as close to being another phenomenal slow blues. Doesn't quite get there, but it's close. And it almost, you know, if they had more time to put that one together, I suspect it would have been one of the highlights of the album. Okay, but they also did three other songs during those sessions, and I got the old Coda album up. How you doing there? Can you see that? Coda. Hi, YouTube guys. There's your Coda album. Tree Songs. I haven't looked at Coda album in ages. Oh, there's a bunch of pictures inside. Oh, look at that. Look at that. Lovely pictures. Lovely pictures. Do you see the pictures? That's how long it's been since I looked, right? From the Nebworth shoot, some famous shots there. I think they were admiring the strippers that were brought to the shoot, right? Anyway. Side 2, other than Bonzo's Mantra, which was recorded during the present sessions, I believe, Side 2 is pretty much the alternate In Through the Outdoor. Ozone Baby, Darlene, from Wearing and Tearing. And interestingly, might be three of the better songs in this. You know, I throw All My Love in the middle of those three songs. Also, baby darling, all my love wearing and tearing. Now you've got a side two. Now you've got a rocking out side two. Yeah, even throw all my love inside one. Take Southbound Soiree over. Right? But I'm saying lose Carousel Amber and I'm going to crawl. And throw those three songs in. Now you've got a... And for its time, right? This was a rocking, saucy little album all of a sudden. Those three songs get very lost in Coda, by the way. Coda never worked very well. It just is incoherent almost in terms of start to finish. And it's a pity because those are three good songs. As is Walter's Walk. Or no, Port Tom. Port Tom's a fun little song. Which is from Olympic Studios 1970. And Walter's Walk, I think, was another good one. I'm trying to remember how it was. 72, so that has the Holy Sessions. That one. But those three songs, yeah, they would make a very much more interesting Into the Outdoor. And Page's production later on maybe improves Carousel Amber and I'm Gonna Crawl. The 1982 production, because I think he had a little more time to do it, get it right. I'm spell correcting for no good reason here. But those three songs really would make it a different album. And I would love to have seen that. Even just take Carousel Amber out and throw in Wearing and Tearing and Darling. Go with that. Go with that. I'm telling you. All right. I stopped the tape. If you guys on YouTube, I kind of got up in the middle of this and wasted some time. This is why. In Through the Outdoor, the MP3. I might even have a cassette in there somewhere. I'll have to look for that. I'll show you next week. Don't have my glasses on again. But here's the set list, by the way, for the 8-track. In the Evening, Hot Dog, Southbound Soiree, Fool in the Rain. Carousel Amber, All My Love, I'm Gonna Crawl. So Hot Dog was moved from song 4 to song 2. Other than that, everything stays the same. But that's, we've talked about that with other songs, how they different, that the 8-tracks come up different. There you go. That's what's on that 8-track. And I'm gonna throw that on and listen to it and see how it works. I kind of seem to recall the first when I got it, I threw it on and was what the hell's that? What? Hot Dog? That's the wrong song. Oh my god. But it sorted itself out. That's it. I guess that's about all we got. My apologies. I've been slow doing these, but I've been slow doing them. Summertime and stuff. I will get both of the YouTube videos up. I got to get them off my computer anyway. I don't have that much space on my computer. I get them up and I delete them fast. But that's it. That is it, ladies and gentlemen, for Ramble on Radio, episode 69. The only episode that's just as good upside down. The only episode that's just as good if you play it back to front. Check RambleOnRadio.com for notes on this week's podcast, Led Zeppelin news and reviews, and any links mentioned in today's podcast. Follow Ramble on Radio on Facebook, Google+, and at Ramble on Blog on Twitter. You can subscribe to Ramble on Radio through iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. Listen to it on Spreaker. Be sure to follow Ramble on Radio. And check it out on Ramble on Radio on YouTube. Listen. Did I already say that? Thanks for listening to Ramble on Radio, episode 69. The In Through the Outdoor episode, in case we're going there, I guess. And hey, keep it coolin', babies.
switch off the internet.